Lord is good. Praise His name forevermore. He is a healer. Hallelujah. He is a healer. Praise His name. And you be thinking, when Pastor Mike lays hands on me, the power of God's going to go through my body. Hallelujah. And it's going to drive out sickness. It's going to drive out disease. Praise His name forevermore. Praise His name forevermore. Psalm 35. In verse 27, let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. We honor You and bless You and praise You and magnify You. Father, You're wonderful and good. We thank You for the healings that will take place at the end of this service. And Father, I thank You so much for the Word this morning. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Fill my mouth with words from heaven. Hit bullseyes in people's heart this morning. This is our help. This is our change. This is where we go forward. This is where we hear from heaven. So, Father, we thank You for the supernatural deliverance that we're going to receive today through Your Word. We thank You for insight, revelation. Father, we thank You for all that is to come for the result of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we began a series 2 weeks ago. This would be part three. So this is really kind of a review of last week, but not really a review, because even if I didn't say this last week, I'd say it today. So it's important to see this. Don't tune me out and say, well, I think he said that last week, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. You don't get faith by hearing it one time. You don't get faith by hearing it twice. You get faith by hearing it over and over and over and over again. There have been people before that have been in church for 20-some years that have come up to me after a service and said, today, I got it. Today, it hit my heart. Today, it sunk in where I had heard and heard that over and over. Well, they finally got it. Why? Because that's how faith comes, by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word. If you're lacking faith, you need more Word. If you're lacking anything to do with faith, if you're stressed, if you're anxious, if you're in fear, if you're worried, if you're angry, if you're bitter, you just need more Word. Praise God. Praise God. Faith drives those things out. Hallelujah. So we need to hear these things. Psalm 35 and verse 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. We're not servants anymore. We're children. Praise God. If He wants His servants prosperous, how much more does He want His children prosperous? And we could take a whole day, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, showing you that the Bible wants you blessed, that God's plan for your life is prosperity. 3 John 2 says, beloved, above all things, I wish that you would prosper and be in health, right? God's plan is prosperity. We looked at that 2 weeks ago, just trying to drill that into people. A lot of people have a poverty mentality. Until you start thinking right financially, you will not receive what God has for you financially. I'm living proof of it, and so many others are living proof of it until they started doing it God's way. So God is in the prosperity business, ladies and gentlemen. People say, oh man, you're one of those prosperity preachers. I'm guilty. I am guilty. Why am I a prosperity preacher? Because my daddy's a prosperity God. Hallelujah. Praise God. He wants you blessed. He wants you provided for. Why wouldn't He? You're His child. I want my children blessed, and He's way better than I am. Hallelujah. Go with me to Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Just chugging right along here. Praise God. It says in verse 17, thus says the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God. Now notice this, which teacheth thee or you to what? Profit. I like the word profit. That's a good word when it comes to money. Praise God. When it comes to increase, when it comes to material things, profit. He said, I am the Lord God that will teach you how to profit. And I will lead you by the way which you should go. Glory to God. Amen. God says, I will show you how to profit my way. And the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. There's a way to go after riches. There's a way to go after increase that's not God's way. And ladies and gentlemen, it will always lead to sorrow. It might not show up now. It might not be evident now. But there's a day coming where the reaping will have to be had because the sowing was in the wrong realm. But if you'll sow into the right realm and you'll do it God's way, there will be no sorrow with the increase that will be attached from doing it God's way. Glory to God. He said, I'll teach you in the way to profit. And so we said, we're going to look at a series to show people how they can profit, how to get all the money that they'll ever need in this life. Ladies and gentlemen, getting the money you need is not a hard thing. In fact, I have proven it is very simple. When a bill comes across my desk or with the churches that we don't have the money to pay for, I never fret. I never get worried. I never get concerned. Why? I know too much about my God. I know too much about what my God has said. And it's easy to get the supply that you need. And remember, my God shall supply all the needs. The supply comes after the need shows up. So the need doesn't make me afraid because I know that's just associated with a supply. Praise His name forevermore. And so we're going to teach you how to profit. We're going to teach you, and I believe the Lord has laid on my heart for 5 or 6 weeks some things to show us in the Word of God of what we need to do, because you might be here and say, I don't understand. I feel like I'm doing everything right. Well, God's going to show you. If you're not prospering, if you're not having all your needs met with enough left over to be generous, praise God, you're not doing it God's way, because that's the flow of heaven. And that's what God wants to lead you into. And He said, I'll teach you. I'll teach you how to profit. Praise God. I'll show you how to do it. But before we said this last week, and I would say it again even if I didn't say it last week, before we get instruction on how to profit, two things are vital. And you better listen to me about these things. Because if these two things are not right in your life, you will never walk into the financial prosperity that God has for you. Number one is to understand that the Word of God, if He says, I'm going to teach you how to profit, how's He going to teach us? Through His Word. The Bible says the Word is a light unto your feet, a lamp unto your feet, and a light unto your path. It shows you the way to go, right? It's our GPS for life. It teaches us how to go. Praise God. Well, if we're going to get instruction from the Word, the first thing you need to know and understand and get settled in your heart is you have to understand the channel or the prism through which the Word of God was written, which was the prism and the channel of love. God is a God of love, 1 John 4 and verse 8. He only says things out of love. He only does things that are loving. His commandments come from a heart of love. His commandments aren't to hurt you. His commandments aren't to make you have less. His commandments aren't to make your life hard. He's a loving God. Love never harms. Love never hurts. Love never causes to lack. Love never makes fearful. And if you get instruction from the Word of God on how to profit, or the Holy Ghost says something to you through this series, and you don't see it through that channel of love, you'll be tempted to be bitter about the financial message. You'll be tempted to be angry. You'll be tempted to have fear. You'll be tempted to feel manipulated. You'll be tempted to mistrust the Word of God. But when you understand it came from a God who only knows love, then everything you see knows, hey, it's for my better because He loves me. He demonstrated it and proved it to me by setting and putting Jesus on the cross. So that's number one. You better get that in your heart. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. But number two is that we need to check for symptoms. Do you know what symptoms are? Symptoms are signs or warning signs of something that could be wrong. Sometimes people might have symptoms in their heart with their heart being wrong, right? They might have dizziness. They might have shortness of breath. They might have whatever, pain in their arm. Could be a symptom of something wrong in their heart. If those symptoms are ignored, that could lead to what? Bad things, right? We don't ignore those symptoms. Well, we better make sure that we do not have a spiritual heart problem. And we better check for the symptoms of a spiritual heart problem, because if we don't get the symptoms checked out and we don't get the symptoms fixed, we are going to be hurt in life. Jake, pull up Matthew 6 and verse 21. I'll show you what I mean. Praise God. Oh, He loves us so much. Matthew 6, 21 says, for where your treasure, what's your treasure? Your money, your stuff, your substance. He says, where your treasure is, guess what's found with it? Your heart is also. Where you find your treasure, you'll find your heart. See, that's why the body of Christ needs to get their mind renewed to what money is through the eyes of God. It's not just money and annoying and talk about. Money is one of the lifebloods that keeps the kingdom of God going. There's no church being built out back without it. There's no books being written without it. There's no missionaries going across the world and telling people about Jesus without it. There's no programs and things associated with the kingdom of God without finances. And God says finances or money is an indicator of your heart. So when God talks to you about money in His Word, and if you have symptoms of angry, bitter, upset, fear, not sure, right, worry, those are bad, bad symptoms to have of a heart, right? Because we ought to see what God says to do with our money. And if our heart is with Him, we'll say, praise the Lord, bring it on. Whatever you got to say, Father, I want to hear it. Glory to God. So I'm telling you right now, you'll never see the prosperity that God has. And you don't. And I'm not joking around when I say, you can try to get money your way. Sorrow will, the Bible's never a lie. Sorrow will always be attached to doing things your way. You say, I'm not seeing it now. In fact, I'm seeing an increase to it. But just wait. Just wait. The Word, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. When you do not do His Word, it does never lead to good things. Right. Never leads to good things. He says, where your treasure is, your heart is. So if money, the talk of money in church, when God says that's a sign of your heart, you're just saying, Father, my heart is not with You. Because my money is not with You. And God wants your heart. Yeah. Absolutely, He wants you. You can't say, I'm all with You, Father. Remember the song Darlene Check sang with Hillsong? The old song, Lord, I give You my heart, I give You my soul, right? Christians are singing that wrong. They should say, Lord, I give You my heart, but with my wallet I won't part. You can't say, my heart's with You, God, but my money's not. I'm sorry, wrong. You better go find a different religion. You better go find a different Bible. Because the Word of God says your money is attached to your heart. Praise. I didn't write it. Jesus did. Yeah. Hallelujah. And if the very talk of this is making you uncomfortable, heart problem.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I wish He'd shut up about heart problem. You got symptoms. Better check them out and get them fixed. Heart problems never lead to good things. Oh, He makes me so mad when He gets sarcastic. Like, heart problem. Hallelujah. Praise God. Love you. It's important to know with prosperity. And listen, let me just say before I even go on. If you do have a heart problem, don't beat yourself up. Fix the heart problem. Yeah. Oh, I must be awful the way He's talking. No, you're not. Everybody has to make adjustments in their life. Just make adjustments. But you need to be it needs to be pointed out that there's an issue. Right? You might not like going to the doctor and hearing that there's symptoms of heart problems, but thank God the doctor showed you so you can do something about it. Thank God, right? The doctor's not a good doctor shouldn't just sit there and beat you up and tell you you're so horrible for getting yourself. Hey, we can help you here. Let's do this. Let's take this medicine. Change your diet here. Right? Add some exercise here, right? Change some things. But it's important to know that when it comes to prosperity, there's a God side and a man side. Go to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. Hallelujah. I want to see people prosper. I love you too much to not tell you. Isaiah 1 and verse 19 says, if, everybody say if, that means something hangs in the balance. If you, talking about you, are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Notice there's qualifications to eating the good of the land. Willingness and obedience. What is that? Doing it the way God said to do it. Jake, pull up Psalms 112 and verse 1, please. I love this portion of Scripture. Oh, it lays it out for us. Glory to God. Psalms 112 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, blessed. And we already said during tithes and offerings, we want to be blessed. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Now notice this. That delighteth greatly in His commandments or what He has said to do. The Bible says the one that looks at God's commandments and delights greatly in Him says, oh, I love the Word of God. The one that says, I love the Word. The Bible says they're the blessed ones. And what's it go on to say in verse 2? His seed, talking about His kids. Let me say something to you, moms and dads or whoever is the caretaker of a child. You are, hold on a second. Before I say this, moms and dads, whoever the caretaker, clean your ears out. Real good, because you need to hear this. You are the gatekeeper that keeps the door closed to the devil, to your children, or opens the door wide open for the enemy to come right in and do what the enemy wants to do. He's a stealer, a killer, and a destroyer. Young children, until a child gets to the age where they can stand and have faith for the things of God, until they can get to that point, mom and dad or whoever you are the one that has to stand in the place for those kids. Because if the devil can't get to the parents, guess who he's going to go for? The kids. Why? They're the vulnerable ones. They're like, the devil's like the lion out on the prairie that's seeking the gazelle, right? And they don't go after the healthy, fast gazelles. They go after the young ones or the wounded ones, right? Because it's easy prey. You know what children are to parents that have the gates wide open? Easy prey for the devil. And the Bible says the one that delights greatly in doing it the Lord's way, his seed will be mighty on the earth. And the generation of the upright shall be blessed. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. Our kids are at stake in our obedience or disobedience. Wake up, moms and dads. Wake up, caretakers. Shake off your wrong thinking. Shake off your selfishness and do it God's way. Right? Set the example for your children. Would your kids know that God is big by looking at you? My kids know God is big. Why? He's magnified in my home. We pray in my house. We worship in my house. God is big in my home. Absolutely. And if it's not the case, change. Change. Lord, I'm sorry I went to California. This is what you get. I sat there all week just hearing the Bible, and I didn't get to preach, and a preacher's got to preach. And so now you're getting it. Verse 3. The one that does the commandments of the Lord, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Whose house? The one that delights greatly in doing it God's way. I told you a few weeks ago, Caleb learned how to swim finally without his floaties. Well, even up to 10 minutes before he finally had that first time where he learned to swim, he was struggling. I mean, it looked like a shark attack in that water. Water flying, things flailing everywhere, right? 10 minutes before, 5 minutes before, that's the way it looked. And he kept doing it his way. He would not listen to me. You know, he was afraid, right? And why don't people obey God? They're afraid. A lot of times they're afraid. Wouldn't listen to me. Doubted that I knew best. Finally, I got him to say, buddy, the way you swim with your floaties, it's the same exact way you're going to swim without your floaties. Get your legs up level to the water and just smoothly going. And he finally did it, and he started to swim so good. You know what most Christians are like? Trying to just gasp why they're not doing it God's way. And that's what life will be like for you for the rest of your life until you start doing it God's way. It'll be a constant struggle to stay above the water. That's what it'll be like. It'll be a life of frustration and heartache not doing it God's way. It just will be. But you don't have to worry because you have the opportunity to do it God's way. And that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. But that means when you step outside of God's will, you repent and get back in. Or when you're in church and pastor preaches on something that maybe you're not doing, you just adjust your life and go on. God doesn't expect you to know everything right now, but you're open to the Holy Ghost. You're open to correction. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't want to struggle to stay above water. So last week, we started to teach you how to prosper, didn't we? Now again, if I mention this word, and oh, you get upset and angry, you got a heart problem. We looked at the tithe, didn't we? And we looked at some neat things about the tithe. I'm just going to go over these really fast. We saw that the tithe is the beginning place to financial biblical freedom. He said, I will open you the windows of heaven. You know what the non-tither is like? The non-tither is like God wants to get blessings. You know that bird that flies smack dab into the window, bonks his head, and either doesn't live anymore or gets real dizzy and then flies away? That's what your blessings are like. They're hitting the window. Why? The window hasn't been opened. Why? The tithe activates and opens the windows of heaven. It is the starting place for financial freedom. And until you cross the threshold of being a tither, what is a tithe? A tenth part of what God has blessed you with. Until you do that, your blessings are going to smack against that window. Smack against that window. Why? Because the tithe opens those things right up and allows the blessings to flow. Praise God. We saw that the Bible said that the tithe is not some miserable word that the preacher has brought up. It is holy unto the Lord. In Leviticus 27, it says the tithe is holy to God. The offering time, when we bring our tithes, we write our tithe checks, we put our money in the envelope, that's a holy thing to God. It's a holy thing to God. Praise God. We saw the purpose of the tithe was threefold, really. or does three things, but really the purpose of it is twofold. Number one, that there'd be meat in my house. God says without the tithe, there'd be no provision. Ladies and gentlemen, you want this church to shut down? Stop tithing. It's just the truth. The money keeps the thing going. And God said that. Meat or provision in my house comes through the tithe. And then he said, and prove me now herewith, if I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. So the second part of it, not only to provide for the kingdom, but to get more into your hands. Hallelujah. And then we saw that the Bible says that the tithe rebukes the devourer, and your stuff will last longer. You'll have supernatural divine protection through the tithe. And we showed you some examples of people that can testify to that. Hallelujah. We also saw that the tithe, which a lot of Christians will say, Pastor, you are off base. You are wrong. You do not know your Bible. The tithe was during the law. We are redeemed from the law. We don't have to do the law anymore. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because the tithe, ladies and gentlemen, was something that started hundreds and hundreds of years before God ever said, I like that. Let's make it law. Yes. We see Adam and Eve must have taught Cain and Abel to bring an offering. We saw that God was not pleased with Cain's offering, but was pleased with Abel's offering. And the Bible tells us it was because Abel brought the first fruits. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits. I can't afford to tithe. You can if you do it first. The reason you can't afford to tithe is because it's become like a bill to you. It's down on the list. If my electric gets paid, if this gets paid, and there's enough for God, I'll give it to God. That's not how your Father operates. He is a jealous God and wants to be numero uno in your life and will not be satisfied being second, third, fourth, tenth, wherever he is on your list. Hallelujah. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or his way of doing things, and all these things will be added unto you. Praise God. We saw that it started with Abraham. Abraham, by faith, brought tithes, didn't he? He brought tithes to a man, a priest, that the Bible said was just like Jesus. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 7 that the men that receive tithes in the Old Testament, they die. But the one that never dies, the great high priest, the one that was like Melchizedek, Jesus, he still receives tithes. Praise God. Because why would God ever get rid of the tithe? What was the purpose? To provide for his kingdom? Why would that ever stop? To make sure his children are blessed? Why would that ever stop? And the Bible says in John 8:39, they said, we're of our father Abraham. And Jesus said, if you were of your father Abraham, you would do what Abraham did. And the Bible says, if you're Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are Abraham's child spiritually in the Bible. And if you are his child, you'll do what he did. You know what he did? By faith he brought to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we saw, for those people that want to just say the tithe, I can't believe that God would make me give 10% of what I have. We showed you the good old M&M example, right? If I give Caleb a bag of M&Ms, which a bag of M&Ms has about 30, what's a tithe of 30? 3. Now, I gave them to Caleb. He doesn't have M&Ms without me. In fact, he's not even on this earth without me, right? And I give him M&Ms, and I say, buddy, I'd like some of those M&Ms. And if he just won 2, 3, and puts them in my hand, Houston, we have a problem. I'm going to say, what are you doing? El Cheapo. If you're mad right now, heart problem. You better get that checked and fixed. Yeah. El Cheapo. If he does anything besides a smile, sure, Dad. And one of these, we have a problem. Amen. You say, well, how does that, that's M&Ms. How does that relate to money? Ladies and gentlemen, your money that you work so hard for, that you want to keep to yourself, you aren't even on this earth if it wasn't for God's good graces. You don't exist if he didn't think, you know what, I think I'll make humans. I think that's a good idea. I want someone to fellowship with. You say, well, I'm here and I work so hard. Well, yeah, I know, but you know what? The air supply, he keeps that turned on for you. Oh, but you're mine. Oh, what the sound mind that he gave you, you mean? Oh, you live in a free country that he blessed you? Everything you have is a result of him. And you're going to be stingy? You're going to say, no, I'm not giving you anything. 10%? Are you serious? If you want to be serious about it, they were forced to give 10% in the Old Testament. We have Jesus in our heart, the Holy Ghost in our heart, been born again, blood bought, children of God. How much more should we give above 10% than what they had to give? They have way less than what we have. Hallelujah. Oh my gosh. You say, oh, I need some Bible on that. Well, what did the New Testament Christians do? When was the greatest move of God since Jesus died on the cross? And to this point, when was the greatest move of God? In the book of Acts. That's the days we want to go back to, right? When people were walking by crippled people on the street and a shadow would hit them and they'd get healed. Where handkerchiefs that were anointed by somebody's hands were laid upon sick bodies and they were being healed. Where crippled people their whole life. Where the blind was getting their sight back. That's the greatest moves of God. Well, what were those people like? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 that they were not 10% givers. Oh, they didn't stop at 10%, did they? Oh, just a measly 10%. No, they didn't stop at measly 3 M&Ms for Dad. What did they say? Whatever you need, Father. The Bible says they were of one heart, one accord, one mind, and they said not anything that they had that they, you know, us, we say, that's my money, that's my stuff. The Bible says those people said, it's not mine. Whatever is needed, it's all yours. What were they? 100% givers. And what happened? God moved in that place. Why? Because money wasn't in the way. Ladies and gentlemen, God will not invade your life if money stands in the way. How does money stand in the way? You don't want to obey Him doing it financially. You have a heart problem. Yes, it's the truth. And then last but not least, and we'll go on to today. You needed to hear this again anyways. Because there's newer people here that haven't heard it. You say, I've tithe. I don't need to hear that message. I tithe. Oh, right there. That's your problem right there. You have an attitude problem. You think the tithe, the writing of the check and the dropping it in the envelope and putting it in the bucket is a fix-all? No, no, no. That's how they did it in the Old Testament. They were obligated to do it. We get to do it. What law are we under? The law of grace and faith. We have to attach faith to every single thing we do. And if the tithe, you're writing it out, you're annoyed and you're bitter and you're dropping it in and you're grumbling and complaining, there's no faith on that tithe to activate what that tithe is supposed to do. That's how we operate. That's how we please God. So we said, I don't care if you've been tithing your whole life. What's your attitude when the tithe check gets written? What's your attitude when the bucket goes around? If it's anything other than, oh my gosh, Lord, I am so thankful that I get to bless you. I'm so thankful that I get to help you, Father. Drop that in. You got to have faith, right? So let's go on. Praise the Lord. You might think, my God, that was just review. We're going to be here all day. No, I promise. Don't have a ton to get to today. Go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. I can't stress it enough. Keep doing it your own way. There will be a... I'll just say what Jesus said. Jesus said, you hear his commandments, you don't do it, a crumble's coming. He said that in Matthew 7. He said, these people that hear my word and don't do it, he says, when the storms come, not only are they going to crumble, they're going to have a great crumble. He's saying, I warned you. I told you how to do it right. See, you got to remember, the devil's not an idiot in how he maneuvers what he does. He's very good at stealing, killing, and destroying. You might step away from obeying God, and it might look like you're increasing. Do you think that's on an accident? What's that the devil doing? Getting you to say, oh, it's better on this side, but the Bible's still true. Sowing and reaping. Hear the word, don't do it, crumble will come. It might not come tomorrow. It might not come the next day. It might not come the next year. It might not come the next 2 years. But there will be a crumbling to the person that has heard the word that says, I'm not going to do the word. Why? Because Jesus is not a liar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the person that looks at the word of God through love doesn't see the boundaries and the commandments as something hard. Right? The dog that's sitting there that just watched the other dog run through the electric fence because the other dog is a rebel and says, I don't like this electric fence. I want to go wherever I go. And he's flattened. And the other dog's saying, you know what? I like this fence. This is a kind of a nice thing my owner did for me. It was out of love. See, when you hear crumbling, that's not to get you fearful. God's saying, I'm telling you how not to be in trouble in the future. Didn't the word say in the Old Testament, this day I've set before you blessing and cursing? He said, I've set before you life and death. Choose life. He said, it's up to you. You choose it. Whatever you want, you choose it. But just know, reaping always comes. You say, well, I don't see it. It's nowhere to be found. It's coming. It's. I wish it wouldn't, but it is. I've found out God is more real in the times where I've missed it and disobeyed his word and found out, yep, that was right. Just telling you the truth. If I'm going to be honest with you, praise God, I've missed it so many times. Said, by God, let's just do it his way in all areas. So Malachi 3 and verse 8 says this. So we're going on past the tithe. The tithe is the beginning to financial freedom. Just get in line with the tithe. Hallelujah. I'm in Micah. I had to learn how to spell, I guess. Malachi 3 and verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, where have we robbed you, Lord? Now this is what I want you to see. I'm not even focusing that much on the robbing part. In tithes and offerings. Do you see that there? And offerings. Tithes and offerings are separate. They're two different things. The easiest way I can explain this to you is the Bible says that the tithe belongs to God. It's holy unto him, right? It belongs to him. We know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Every single thing is God's anyways. But the tithe is something that is a non-negotiable thing. And the Bible says there's tithes and offerings. The simplest way I can put it is an offering is anything above the 10%. Anything above the 10% is the offering. They're different things. And it's important that you understand that because each one of those things have different things that they do for you that bring you blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to find out what the offering is all about. Are you ready?
Yes.
Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now remember, the tithe, it's important to understand this. The tithe is 10%. And we know where the tithe goes, right? The storehouse. Meat in my house. What is that? The church. The house of God. That's where the tithe goes. The offering, however, you have more of a say in where the offering goes. But there are, well, you'll see. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Well, tithing is not giving. That's why the Bible says bring the tithe to the storehouse. You can't give God something that's already his. You can bring God something that's already his, but you can't give it. But you can give an offering, and it says, purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. But notice the Bible says, as a man purposeth in his heart. When it comes to the offering or above the tithe, you have the opportunity to purpose in your heart where you want that extra to go. Praise God. Now, the Holy Ghost at times will direct you, and then you don't have a choice because that's God's word to you. But there's times where the Lord won't speak to me about an offering. He won't tell me an amount, won't tell me where to go. I do know some guidelines by the word, and I know some smart things about sowing and reaping of where to put it. But there are times I don't get anything, and I have to purpose in my heart to where that goes. The tithe belongs to the local church where you're getting fed. The offering belongs where you purpose in your heart or where the Holy Ghost has said to put it. But let me say this. If God gives you the opportunity to put your offering where you want to put your offering, you better choose wisely. What do I mean? Go up a verse to verse 6. Here's what I'm talking about. This is Paul talking. Now, chapter 8 and chapter 9 are talking about an offering that was getting taken up. He said, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Do you see that? In finances, and he says, he who sows bountifully reap bountifully, he's likening money to seed. Do you see that? He's likening money to seed. Well, what do we know about seed? For seed to produce, it's got to be planted in what? Good ground. Right? He's saying money, the offering is like a seed where you can scatter. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just say, that's why some of you struggle at this point in your life. Because back in planting time, now should be harvest time, there was no seeds in the ground. And so it causes you to struggle and back away from the things of God. If you'd have planted way back like you should have, let me just say it this way. The harvest you'll walk into tomorrow will be because of the seeds you planted in your todays. It's just the truth. Money is like a seed, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we better make sure that our money, our offerings, go into good ground. Why? If they don't go into good ground, they don't produce a harvest. I can take the best seed I want and go out on Main Street out here, throw that on the road, and no harvest is going to come of it, right? Or I can go into some fertile ground where it's been proven and tested, throw that seed down and see just such a good harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to know some good ground places? Praise God. Amen. What is good ground? Well, whatever the Bible says is good ground. Your church is, oh, pastor, you're just trying to get the offering to come into the church. I'm trying to get your seed to be multiplied. I'm telling you what I've done and seen the best results in. Your church is good ground. If it's not, what are you doing here? People are getting born again. People are getting set free. Lives are changing. People are getting help weekly. What is that? That's good ground. I always sow my biggest seed. Doesn't mean you have to, but I'd like to put mine in good ground. I always sow my biggest seeds to my church. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Certain people can be good ground. Yeah. Certain people that are doing God's work, that are changing lives. Absolutely. There's certain people in my life, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I sow first and foremost to be a blessing. But I'm not dumb. What do I mean by that? I understand reaping comes with it. There are certain people that I know, it almost makes giving selfish, that if I sow into them, I'm going to get such a good return on that harvest. I do. I know it. And it makes giving almost be selfish. Absolutely. So I sow into them. I'm like, I can't wait to see what's coming back from that. Yeah, it's true. What else is good ground? Wherever your Father tells you to give is good ground. Praise God. Hallelujah. One time, I was led to sow a seed into Pastor Nancy Dufresne. Good ground. Good ground, right? You say, people are ground? Yeah, the Bible calls the parable of the sower, calls people's hearts ground. Dirt, different type of dirt. Some people are not good ground. She's good ground. And it was a hefty sum to me. And, of course, the fear starts to come in. But then I thought, my goodness, taking a seed and sowing it into ground like that, my God, I'm going to get something good. And I sowed that seed, and I'm not kidding you, 1 week later I got a check in the mail and it doubled. It did. And I'll tell you some more stories at the end of this, praise God. Because you'll never walk into the financial freedom. Remember, we're teaching you how to profit. Until you started the tithe, go on to the offering, praise God. And remember, God didn't put this stuff in here to make your bank account go down. He didn't put this in here to make you struggle. He put it in there, and you say, well, if I give the tithe, I am going to go down. It will look like that at first. When you sow offerings, at first, when you release it, it looks like you have less. But when harvest time comes, a farmer might have a whole barn full of seed. And people can come in and say, my God, look at all that seed. He goes out and plants all that seed. You can go in there and say, oh, man, that poor farmer doesn't have any seed. And that farmer says, don't say poor farmer. My seed's in the ground, and my seed's going to come up out of that ground and produce way more of a crop than the barn full of seed I had before I put it in the ground. Yeah, God's word is love. He's not telling you to bring tithes and offerings to make it hard for you. If giving is hard for you, your mind's not renewed to the benefits of it. It's just the truth. I get so thrilled when I go to camp meeting now. In every service, they take up an offering. When I see certain ministers that I can sow money into, I get so thrilled. I'm like, harvest for me, harvest for me, harvest for me. My mind's renewed to it. I've tried to outgive God. You can't do it. I have tried. I have emptied bank accounts before trying to outgive him, and he absolutely blows my mind with what he does. Amen. He is wonderful. Hallelujah. And let me just say this. Genesis 8 says that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. You want to get in the flow of prosperity, you got to get in the flow of giving. Yeah. But notice this. Seed, time, where it looks like nothing's happening, but then there's harvest. Can't get to the harvest without the seed time. Any farmer knows that. It's like the farmer that walks out onto his 100-acre field, didn't plant any seed, and it's harvest time, and all the neighbors are harvesting all their crops, and he walks out and says, "Where's my harvest?" You call that a dumb farmer. A farmer knows you can't get a harvest without seed, without sowing seed. Christians, you got to understand, you got to get some seed in the ground. You do. Because when harvest time comes, there won't be any harvest. Well, God just loves me so much, he'll just do it for me anyways. No, he won't. That's what religion teaches. God says, obey me. See, he doesn't understand in heaven, in his infinite wisdom, how wonderful and magnificent he is, why people would doubt what he would say. He must be scratching his head. Don't they understand I'm God? They must not understand that I'm God. They don't do what I say. They think their way's better. Oh, number three. So number one, tithe and offering are different. And I only have four, and fourth one's going to be real quick. Number three, number two is you choose the destination unless the Holy Ghost directs you, but choose wisely. Number three, here we go, found in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. We're already there. But this I say, I love the boldness. See, you think your pastor's a meanie. You think your pastor's bold, and wow, he said that? Paul was taking up an offering that was given to him from the churches, and he says, I just want to say something before you do this. And see, when you know that you know that you have character, when you know that you know your heart's right, when you know that you're preaching from the right standpoint, you can say anything like this and not care what people think, because you can go home at night and know, I said that to benefit the people. So when Paul says this, he's not trying to line his pockets. You think God's going to use someone like this that's in it for manipulation and selfish gain? Absolutely not. He says, I just want to remind you, but this I say, before you take this offering up for me, can you imagine on my birthday? If I said, no, we're going to take up an offering for me. Well, first of all, you'd be offended I even said that. You'd be offended I even said that. And then if I said, I'll make sure before you do it, what you put in that card for me better be good. You would leave, you'd put me on Facebook, you'd run out of here and tell. Paul said, I want to remind you, he that sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Yeah. Paul says, I want to remind you, your harvest depends on what you do with this seed. Ladies and gentlemen, your harvest in life, do not complain and grumble and gripe about what you have. Your harvest depends on what you sow.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I know. Can't say it any plainer than that. Galatians 6 and verse 7. As you're turning there, let me read 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6 in the Message Bible. It says, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. Hallelujah. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth. So what's that mean? Sow little, get what? Little. Sow little, get little. Sow lots, get lots. It's very simple, actually. I told you, this whole thing is very easy. It's just doing it. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. Talking about sowing, sowing your seed. There is that scatters, yet they increase. Hallelujah. Now, you might not increase at the scattering, because at the scattering is the outflow. But the Bible says there will be an increase. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet or more than is right, but it leads to poverty. What's withholding more than is right? Withholding the tithe and withholding the offering, which God said, Malachi 3:8, that's how you're robbing me. If you withhold those from the kingdom of God and doing it God's way, it will lead to poverty. It will. And it gets quiet in here when you start talking about people's money. You see, God, you can talk. See, you know how you can tell a person that has a good heart? The ones that are excited to hear this right now.
Yeah.
Preach to me about money all you want. Won't bother me. It'll excite me, because it'll tell me, oh, I'm going to be blessed. Okay, I'll do that. The first message I ever heard when I came into my pastor's church, I had come out of a church that didn't teach the word. Went into my pastor's church, and my pastor rarely teaches on money. I think I've taught maybe one series in 6 years on money. Go back in the archives. You won't hear a whole lot about it. I just... tend to stay away from it. We're not here to harp on it every week. But when the Spirit of God says to talk about it, we're going to talk about it. And I remember going into church and hearing about money. I didn't sit there and think, my God, this God thing's a bad deal for me. I'm going to have to give 10% in the offering. I said, wow, that's my way out of poverty. That is my way into blessings God's way. And I started doing it and started seeing the results. Good heart people say, talk about it all you want. Take as long as you want, Pastor Mike, on the offering. Oh, Pastor, you're doing a series on money? Can't wait to hear it. Yeah. If that made you mad, what do you have? Oh, remember, God loves you and wants to help you. I remember the man by the name of Keith Moore. He's a minister out of Rhema, traveled with Brother Hagin. I heard a message one time. I remember I was ironing in my old house, and I had a message playing of his. And he was talking about sowing seed and how Christians don't have a harvest because they don't sow seeds. And he said, I remember, and he told a story of when he sowed his first $1,000 seed. He said, I was tired of reaping in the fives and tired of just reaping in the tens. He said, it would work. He said, but I wanted to put the word to work. And so he sowed his first $1,000 seed. And he said, that was the first time I ever got a $1,000 harvest. And I heard that and something stirred in me. I said, I've never done that before. I said, I've never done that before. Father, I want to sow a $1,000 seed. I want to be a blessing to whoever's getting that seed or the church getting that seed, but I want to see the word work. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the first $1,000 harvest I ever had came after the first $1,000 seed that I ever sowed. Absolutely. I could tell you some stories. My God, I remember one time at the Jamestown Church, they were in a building program. They have that beautiful big building where people are getting born again and changed every single week. I remember I had the youth group. I led the youth group there. The kids took up an offering for me for my birthday. I didn't tell them when it was. They found out. They must have asked her or whatever. Took up an offering for me. Young kids, I mean, 9th graders to 12th graders. And it was enough for me to go and put down a good portion of money on this gun that I wanted. It was a Thompson Center Encore. Which is a muzzle loader, which you can take the barrel off and interchange it with different barrels. Beautiful stainless steel. I mean, top of the line scope. I got it. And I remember I had that gun for a little while, and the building program come, and the Holy Ghost said in my heart, sell that gun and give all the money to the building program. I said, I like this gun, Lord. It's so pretty. Are you sure? He was sure. And so, I didn't want to dishonor their gift, but I got to obey my God, right? I got to obey my God. And so, I did. I sold that gun for the top dollar that I could get for it, and I put that money in that envelope, that building fund envelope, sold that into the church. Well, this was like probably a year to 2 years after I had gotten the gun that I did that. And so I sold that seed, and then a few months later, I was down in Russell, Pennsylvania at Tall Tales Sporting Goods. And I was down there, and I was with somebody, I won't mention their name because, the Bible, a lot of people, when they give, they want to stay not known. The Bible says don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing, right? We're not magnifying our gifts of what we do. And I was in there, and I made mention, we were just looking at guns, and I wasn't doing this as a faith hint or anything. I mean, the gun was, the one that I got was over $1,000 with the scope and everything on it. It was really nice for a muzzle loader. And I made mention, I said, oh, that's the person was there, and they said, that looks like the gun that I used to have. Well, it was the same company, only it was the year newer with a better scope on it. And that person's over there talking, and they come back and they said, that's your gun. I said, what are you talking about? I said, I just bought you that gun. Wow. Yeah. Better model, worth more, better scope on it. I got a sweet harness with it. I mean, the works on that thing. Sowed a seed, got a bigger harvest. Amen. Works. Yeah. It works. I remember being in Dr. Dufresne's church. In California years ago when they were building their Bible school. And Dr. Dufresne, the prophet of God, said, the Lord told me, and I know I can trust that man, because I know he's like Paul. He's not after your money. He's after your blessing. In fact, in Philippians chapter 4, they took up an offering for Paul, and Paul said, you giving to me was a good thing. Paul said that to people. Can you imagine if you gave to me and I looked at you and said, you know what you're doing? That's the best thing you can do. Oh, you'd hit me. You'd be so angry with me. No, I know a lot of people wouldn't be, but I'm just making a joke. But it's true. A lot of people wouldn't swallow that. But Paul said, what you did was a good thing. He said, but I want you to know, I'm not excited for the offering that you gave me, but I'm excited for the fruit that's going to abound to your account. See, Paul knew, if I can get you to give, I can get you to be blessed. And if you're a true minister of the gospel, you have people at the highest priority at the heart, right? So he could say, give, 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 because you'll get more blessing. Hallelujah. And Dr. Dufresne stood up and said, we need money to finish this building program. And God always calls his people. He said, I'm looking for a certain amount of people to sow a certain seed. And it, but when he said it in my head at the time, I was like, whew. And the Spirit of God said to me, sow a seed from the church and sow a seed personally from your own money towards that building and help get that Bible school built, where now kids are there and adults getting there, taught the Word of God, going forth to hear God, to preach the Word of God, to get people born again. So I sowed that seed. It wasn't a couple, it would have been in June I did it, and a few months later, we got the building for thousands less than they were asking for, this building. Had the favor and money came for that. And we got our house that was listed for thousands of dollars above we could ever, ever pay for. And we got it for tens of thousands of dollars less when people were offering to pay full price for it. What's it called? Harvest. Harvest. Don't forget about harvest. And I'll tell you this last story. We're going to, just number four is going to take literally a minute. I was in California, and I had purposed in my heart to sow a seed from this church to a certain offering that came up. And, you know, I have the right to do that. If I'm in tune with God, you want your pastor to be generous. You want your pastor to be giving so we can keep increasing. And I had purposed in my heart to sow into an offering. And when I was in California, I'll just kind of be completely, I'll be just honest with it, with you. The Spirit of God spoke up and said, give this amount. I said, Lord, that's 1/4 of everything we have in the church. He said, give it. I said, okay. I went home, called who I needed to call. I said, that amount I told you I'm going to give, multiply that by 5. And then it wasn't 2 to 3 months' time that went by, if I got my time frame right. It was somewhere, might have been a little bit longer. 12 times the amount of that offering came into the church in the forms of checks. Some from people that do not even sit in these seats were sending the church checks. What's that called? Harvest. And if you have seed in the ground, if you can say, I planted seed, then get your faith on that seed. Water that seed with your faith. Demand. It's not selfish for a farmer to demand that the ground give up the goods. And you start saying, that's why when people bless me and give into me, I always try to tell people, be expecting the harvest. Why? Because that's what I want for you. Expect the harvest. Put your faith on the harvest. It's coming. Hallelujah. So in closing, number one, the tithe and the offering are different. Number two, you choose. Number three, your harvest depends on you. Whatever you want to see come in for your harvest will depend on what you sow. And number four is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Chapter 9, verse 7. I just want to see people help. That's all. I just want to see people help. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, let him give. So there it is. The Bible tells you you're not exempt from giving because you're an every man. But look at what it says. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver. The fourth qualification to make sure that when you plant seed, that it works for you. Cheerful giver would have faith on that seed. Just like the tithe, your faith has to be attached to that. Your attitude has to be right. Your demeanor has to be right. If you're giving, oh, I got to give. I want to get stupid seed in the ground. Bye-bye. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Faith works. Good attitude doing the word works. Now, you might have to renew your mind to what the Bible says to get into a place of being happy when you give, right? But when you renew your mind to that, it's a win-win proposition. When the offering comes, you'll be so happy. You'll be in. And even if you do have a bad attitude, but you want to obey the word, do it anyways and say, attitude, you stop. I'm happy to obey God's word. Say, it's a joy to obey God's word. Talk yourself into that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, With that being said, we have seen the last 2 weeks the beginning to financial prosperity, to biblical prosperity, to financial freedom in your life. You want change in your life? It starts with the tithe. After the tithe, you go above and beyond and go in the offering, sowing it into good ground with a good attitude. Praise God. And next week, we're going to go even further because you might think, well, that's got to be it. No, the Holy Ghost has showed me things and put things on my heart why people are not prospering, even if you're a tither and even if you're a giver. Amen? But we better start doing those things. Hallelujah. And again, that's between you and God unless God taps me on the shoulder. Okay? I have a right to look at the offerings and I have a right to talk to you about your money. But not most of the time, 90-some percent of the time, I don't care, don't want to know. But if you're struggling or things are going on and God says, hey, then I'll do something. That's my job. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the word. Oh, thank you for the word. Thank him for the word. After we pray, we are going to call up for healing.